to this world. The incarnation, it means that he took on clothing of flesh. How incredible that Jesus came fully God. Yes, fully God. But he became fully man, lived among us. It took a man to go to that cross. It had to be a man, a human being, to go to that cross after having lived a perfect life to be able to pay for our sins. It's the only way that that sin debt could be paid. It would take one who had not sinned, that did not deserve to die, to be able to give his life. It's why he came. But it's so amazing what a humble way that God sent him to the world. As a little bitty baby, vulnerable, needing care. How incredible is that thought? I mean, you talk about humility. This is the God who spoke everything into creation. And yet he comes as this little infant. How many of you have seen a newborn infant recently? They're so tiny. And it's just such an awe-inspiring thing when we look at that infant there and you think, if that infant doesn't have the proper care, it won't make it even a day. Needs care for every little aspect of its life. The God of the universe, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, came in that way. It's shocking. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But I'm going to be honest, from a guy's perspective, it's scary. You know, God used people who had other plans for their life. They had other plans. Do y'all have plans? You make plans? Well, you know, whenever God decides to change our plans, that's going to test our humility quicker than anything else. Amen? But you got to remember something about God's plans. God's plans are higher than our plans. God's plans are higher than our plans. So as we look at our message for today, hopefully you got a copy of the message that you hold. Came with your bulletin if you got one. If not, everything you see on that page will be up here on the screen as well. God's plans are higher than our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. And I'm going to tell you, there's no better perspective of looking at that in the Bible than Christmas, the Christmas story. Christ's advent into this world. And I'm just going to say, our humility is tested whenever God's plans are different than ours. Come on now, you got to give me an amen on this one. This preacher needs some encouragement this morning to keep going. I'm going to tell you, it's, you know, we've got some people here that are just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. They probably don't make a lot of plans. It takes all different kinds to make the world go around, right? But there's other people that I know y'all, you got everything planned right down to the schedule, right? And you know exactly what you have planned for the next moment, the next year, next decade. We need you. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. Some people think I'm talking directly to them. I'm not. I just know how it is. But you know, even if it's just some short-term plan and you're really counting on things, have you ever noticed that God's got a way of disrupting our plans sometimes? And you know, it used to really frustrate me. I'm just going to be honest. It used to really frustrate me getting in the way of my plans. But I'll tell you what, it helps you find out how really humble you are. It's a good test for our soul. And remember, God uses humble people. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Want God's grace? Amen? You want God's grace? Woo! All right. Well, let's look at how the humility of these different individuals is tested here. You just think about Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, thinking about Mary. You know, I'm afraid that oftentimes in the Baptist tradition, we kind of maybe underestimate the importance of Mary a little bit, because I think sometimes it may be because of a knee-jerk reaction, because we know, like maybe in the Catholic tradition, she gets a little too exalted almost to a status that's almost equal to God. But what we understand is, you know, through the Bible, she was a normal human just like all of us. One of a very virtuous woman, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's shown just how virtuous she is by the way that she responded, the humility that's there. But boy, I'll tell you, this had to be the test of tests. I mean, if we read through this story, this account of how she was called to this great calling, it's very amazing. So let's do that this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray you'll bless us as we look at your word here. Thank you for choosing Mary to be the one to carry Jesus into this world. And you know, sometimes we fight against that thing of God's sovereignty and your calling, but you didn't call every woman to carry Jesus into this world. You called one woman to carry Jesus into this world. And you'd prepared her for this as well. And so it's amazing to see what kind of character that you use whenever we look at this beautiful, beautiful woman, Mary, that had this beautiful calling. But as we look at it, we got to know this wasn't an easy calling. And so help us, Lord, to connect with this aspect of the Advent of Christmas in a special way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, starting at verse 26, chapter 1 of Luke, you can either follow along on the page that you got in the bulletin or you can follow along in the Bible. But now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So he had already visited Zacharias and Elizabeth, who to tell them that they were going to have John the Baptist. And now 6 months later, he's visiting to tell Mary what his plan is for her. And so as we continue to read on, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Betrothed. What does that mean? Engaged. And their engagement might be for a period of you know, years, could even be more than 1 year. And the way that their tradition would work is a man would propose to a woman. It might even be kind of set up by family members or whatever. And then he would begin to prepare a place for her as the husband to live in and to provide for her. And so during that time, you know, they would be set apart for one another. You know, sex outside of marriage is frowned on by the Bible, by God's word, and sex outside of marriage was definitely frowned upon by their society. And I just want you to know, sex outside of marriage brought about the penalty of death. It was a capital offense. And so we got to have our mind kind of framed around that whenever we're understanding, because in our culture, we're beginning to just kind of, you know, anything goes, and we don't really, we're not appalled whenever we think like about that anymore. And again, I don't think we should, as the church, condemn, but at the same time, I don't think the biblical standards ever really changed. So thank God it's not a capital offense, but nonetheless, God still doesn't wink at sin, and so it is an issue. But here we're going to find out that, like, she was a virgin who had never been with a man, and she was betrothed to Joseph, and so she was set apart for him. And so she had a plan. Her plan for her life was to get married, to have a normal life. That was her plan. She was working toward that. She was set apart for that. And I'm sure she couldn't wait. I'm sure that there was an expectation and a joy about it. And now God steps into the scene. But when she saw him, we have the angel Gabriel before him, verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I skipped verse 28, didn't I? I just didn't copy and put it on there. So let's go back to verse 28. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. It says something of her humility. I think it's really interesting. It troubled her that the angel called her highly favored one. Isn't that interesting? She was a humble person. God uses humble people. Have you ever thought about the fact that God doesn't use us because we're so special? I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but he isn't just looking around looking for the right person who's got all the right skills so that we can carry out what he wants us to do. In fact, he uses the least of these. And if you ever start thinking that you're something special because God uses you, you better be careful. Brother Bill, he keeps me humble. He didn't say it directly to me, but he does say it around me that if God could speak through a donkey, he can speak through a dummy. Actually, he says that as a joke for himself. But I take it personally because I know it's true. God spoke through a donkey to a prophet one time that was wayward. He can speak through anyone, really. Question is, what kind of benefit are we going to get? And if we're humble, then we get to see the benefit more. And so she was humble. And the fact that he called her highly favored one, I think, humbled her. But yet she was. She was favored because God looked upon her. In verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I'm just going to tell you, if you got favor with God, you got everything. And so God had a favorable plan for her, but I'm going to tell you, it was going to interrupt her plans. Her plans were going to be interrupted. In verses 31 through 33 there, continuing on, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." That name's important. Y'all, I've told you before, this little test. What does the name Jesus mean? God is salvation. Isn't that interesting? His name means something. We name children, you know, oftentimes we try to come up with a good name and we just kind of talk back and forth, but the angel told her what to name him, you know. He had a purpose for this child. God had a purpose for sending his son and to be our salvation. Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." It was prophesied before, way back when, that God would give David a son, or it would be a descendant, is the way son is used there, who would sit on the throne forever. And so this is the fulfillment that's happening here. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. It's repeated again in verse 33, repeating that earlier prophecy and reminding her this is the time. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. That's our Jesus. That's who we serve. He came as this humble little baby to this humble girl. And so with every time that God steps into our plan and there's this interruption, and this is a major interruption to our plan, we're going to see that there's a problem. And this problem is going to cause a crisis of faith. Okay? Because whenever God steps in and he interrupts things, then we can see, okay, so how's this going to work? And so there was one natural problem with this plan. And so Mary brings it up in verse 34, and I don't think it was with any malice. I think she's just being honest. This is an honest question. You can ask honest questions of God. If you don't understand, it's okay to ask honest questions. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Well, for that natural problem, even in our own lives, but it's displayed greatly here, there can be a supernatural solution. That's why we need to look to a supernatural God. That's what supernatural means. Not like paranormal or anything like that. It's not a different kind of normal. it's going to take something supernatural, better than natural, greater than natural, greater than the natural order. And we're only going to be able to find that kind of answer through God. And this answer is spoken here by the angel in verses 35 through 37. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called Son of God." What we understand by this is the incarnation requires this type of virgin birth. If one sinner comes together with another sinner and we have a child, what's it going to be? Another sinner. An exact replica. But you see, he is the exact replica of his father, who isn't Joseph, but is God, his father. And so therefore, he came to be that sinless sacrifice. So he will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, he says, "Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." So sometimes God will throw us a little bit of encouragement so that we can believe the supernatural. Because I'm going to say he had already shown he's a supernatural God by allowing Elizabeth to become pregnant when she was beyond childbearing. Do we know of any others in the Old Testament that had babies beyond childbearing age? Yeah, Abraham and Sarah, right? She, you know, he was old, but what did he say about her? Well advanced in years. he was gentle in the way he put it. But what he was saying is there's no way at this point in life could she become pregnant. It's too far past childbearing. And yet she did become pregnant, and this is the Jewish nation that now is receiving the Messiah. And so he's reminding her, just like you know of the past, Elizabeth has experienced a miracle as well. And this is a person you know. And she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now 6 months. He's even given her specific information so that she can believe the supernatural that he's announcing to her as well. Verse 37, and this is a key verse that we need to have as a life verse. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Let's say that together. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Anything that is God's will, he can do. We can give him all these reasons why that couldn't be possible, but you see, whenever God has desired to do something and it's part of his plan, he can do it. You may have that person in your life that you've been praying for, and it just doesn't seem like they're responding to God, and you're just really like starting to get really discouraged, and you're thinking, it just seems impossible, and I want you to know, keep praying, because with God, nothing is impossible. And you see, and then we see Mary's humble response. This is the highlight of the entire Christmas story for me. This one always just blows me away, and I just love it. And I want this to be like my response. When God interrupts my life because he has something supernatural that he wants to do, and I'm living in the natural because, let's face it, we do too much. But when he interrupts my life, I love this answer. And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." I love the exclamation point there. You know, those they had to add punctuation later, but it wasn't just random. They did it because of the way that it was originally written would indicate that it was an exclamatory, exclamatory, very, very good, statement that she made. It wasn't, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." And I'm going to tell you, that's how most of us accept God's will. "Okay, God, if you're going to call me this hard thing, if you make me do it, I'll do it." It wasn't like that, I don't think. I think she was nervous. I think she was scared. I think she knew, you know what, this can change everything. This changes everything. We don't see an argument. We don't see a complaint. What we see is, behold, the maidservants of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, I don't know how you're going to do this, God, but I'm believing you can. And I'm believing this is going to be even better than what my plan was, because you know why? You've never failed me once, Lord. You are God. Your plan is good. And this is going to be hard. But I'll tell you what. I'm ready. And you know what? The angel departed from her. This wasn't planned into the message today, but I want us to follow just a little bit further to see what she does next. Here's the thing. God calls you out. Sometimes the people that are closest to you, around you, are not going to understand what you do next. In fact, they might even criticize you. Sometimes the people closest to us are the ones that are holding us back the most. We can't worry about that. What you have to do is you've got to hang on and hang on to the last thing God told you. And you just keep going in that direction. Because I'm going to tell you, they may not understand it now, but if you follow God, it's going to be the best thing for them when you get there. I want you to know the fact that Mary said yes is something we need to be eternally grateful for. Because it brought salvation for all of mankind that will receive it. Amen? That's including you and me. And so she said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me as you have said. And then what she did next is she got with the people who would understand. And I'm going to tell you, she was informed by this angel there was going to be one person who might understand. And if you look at the narrative, you look at the rest of the very next verse there, it says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She didn't wait till tomorrow. She didn't wait till next week to begin to follow the Lord. She went with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, this is an extravaganza of a picture of faith and the movement of the Holy Spirit in this entire story. This is amazing. If people ever question you about the personhood of an individual who's in the womb, you take them right here, because I'm going to tell you, John the Baptist was leaping in his mother's womb. The person, John, was all about it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was present in all of this, in showing them, yes, the Jesus who was in Mary's womb and John. They were like having a celebration together in their mother's womb. And the Holy Spirit was speaking right into Elizabeth's heart. She became a prophetess at this point. How amazing is God working? And then we see what Mary says next. My soul magnifies the Lord. We don't hear, woe is me, this is going to be hard. We hear, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She was understanding something here beyond her that was supernatural, that was happening right now, that was going to affect the whole world. All generations, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. This is going to be hard, folks, but it's going to be worth it. I have been called to a blessed calling, even though it's difficult, it's hard, it's going to change my everything. Verse 50, and his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Praise God. Do you understand what she's saying? She's saying, I know God's going to be faithful in the future because he's been faithful in the past. And I want you to know God's been faithful to every one of us. And I pray that your list of understanding his faithfulness in the past keeps growing. Look at the patriarchs. Look at the Bible. Believe the word, but also see what he's doing in your life. He's being faithful now. And that should propel us to go forward. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. I don't know if y'all know the progression of pregnancy, but after about 3 months, it's going to get pretty hard to deny. I'm going to tell you, for many years, this was going to be brought up. And she got pregnant out of wedlock. You can see all the way up to the Gospel of John whenever he's arguing, whenever the Pharisees were arguing with him. He never argued. He just explained what was the truth. That they actually brought up, well, we know who our father is. Guys, that was a snide remark in case you missed it. Jesus knew who his father was too. Don't forget that. Mary knew that it was going to mark her. In fact, it could even mean her life. She was believing it wasn't going to happen that way because God was in this. And he was going to make sure it didn't. So, you know, it didn't just affect her either, did it? Because whenever we see that, we can see this affected somebody else that was pretty close to her as well. This was going to affect her future husband, wasn't it? See, man's plan encounters a natural problem sometimes, just like for Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This comes from Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. After after Jesus' mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So what this means, I mean, it's just kind of the John Jones translation is, he didn't really want to marry her anymore because he felt like she had cheated on him. And the evidence was obvious because remember she came back in 3 months. And so he's looking at her and he's thinking, I don't want to marry her, but I also don't want to see her stoned and I don't want to see her hated. So if I can just get out of this thing kind of quietly, because, like, I'm not really mean-spirited here, but I just don't think that I want to follow through with this thing. Okay, so it was a natural problem. We could all understand where this would be a natural problem, right? It's an undeniable thing. She's pregnant, and there's only one way people get pregnant in our natural world. And so then he takes the natural response. And so he had a plan. There's a supernatural answer. We need to go to God when we're making our plans because now his plan's going to get interrupted here in verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. God's plan is bigger than our plan. Joseph's plan was to get a place prepared, bring his sweet wife to himself, live a normal life together, have some children. God's plan was different. God's plan is bigger. And you know what? It was God's plan all along. That's what's so awesome. God didn't just get in the middle of this whole mankind thing and see that we were all messed up and go, how am I going to fix this? He knew exactly how he was going to deal with it from the Garden of Eden whenever it all started. And so you see, this was his plan all along. And as we look at the following verses there in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. You know why he said it through the prophet way back when? Hundreds of years before? So that we'd know that it was him when it happened. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't that awesome? In other words, Joseph, this isn't all about you. There's a bigger plan. And I'm calling you to be a part of it. Joseph's humble response, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, just like he was told. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. Do you think, as we sit here today, do you think that you have your plans and you develop your plans, but God's plan may be a little different than your plan for your life? Do you think that's possible? You think he's going to adjust your pathway a little bit here and there? What ways do you think he'll go about doing it? Don't know, do we? It's interesting how he does. What do we need to do? We need to do just like Mary and say, behold, the servant of the Lord. Whatever it is, God, I'm believing you can do it. I can't. But I know you can, because you've proved yourself. You've proven yourself over and over again in my life and in the lives of other believers. And then we need to be like Joseph and do it. It says he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. God's ways are higher. I want to say God's ways are higher than ours. They're just higher. Even if I didn't exist, God's ways are still higher. They're higher than anything. They're higher than the universe. They're higher than planet Earth. They're higher than any other way. And he just reminds us in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, the same prophet who this other quote came from in Matthew 1, 23. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So yes, they're higher than our ways. Yes, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're higher than anything that we could ever imagine. God's ways are higher. You see, Mary just wanted a normal life with Joseph, but God planned for her to be the mother of Jesus in the flesh, incarnate. Joseph, he had plans. He wanted his wife and instead received his wife with Jesus and got to be the provider and protector of our Savior. How amazing! Whose plan was best out of all that? It's definitely God's. So when you're faced with that intersection in your life and you're faced with that decision, am I going to go on and do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? I want you to remember, there's no better plan than God's. I had a plan. My plan was going to end me up in hell. God interrupted my life. He asked me and showed me that it was time for me to give my autonomy up. Get off the throne of my life and let him take over that throne. Make sure Jesus is on your throne. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we look at the Christmas story, I see people that had plans, but I see your plan come forth, and I see them joyfully accept it. Probably very frightened still, probably very unsure how it was all going to work out, but what I know is they were looking to you, and they knew you could do it. They knew they couldn't, but you can. I see a room full of blessed people that I dearly love and really, it's no different for us. None of us can bring Jesus into the world. That's already happened. But we need to bring Jesus to the world. We are called to be image bearers of you, the image of God, and we are called to bring salvation to the nations. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us to make that a reality, right, starting in our own homes. We allow you to adjust our schedules. We allow you to adjust our plans. We allow you to be the one to show us what your will is and then say yes. Happily, joyfully, expecting great things because you're a great God. We can think of all kinds of natural reasons to say no sometimes. But I pray that we would look to the supernatural God to carry it out. Because for with God, nothing is impossible. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.